I pray that you would change us and shape us by it, and that we'd be forever, Father, indebted to what your word has to teach us today. And I ask, Father, as we leave today, you would challenge us and you would cause us, Father, to think more about you. So I ask, Lord, that you'd be blessed and honored in this room and by each one here. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. Math, I'm going to go back to math. I still love math. I went to Mr. Park's room the other day, and there was a student in there, and I looked at what Mr. Park was doing, and I go, I love this subject. And the student looked at me like I was a strange person, right? But I love it because, again, like I said, it's very consistent. It's something, it's difficult, but if you understand its consistency, it becomes simpler, easier for you to do as time progresses. It's because you can know with certainty whether it's right or it's wrong, right? There's no close to. 2 + 2 doesn't sometimes equal 6, depending upon the day or the circumstances, right? It's not going to change. It's always going to be the same. And so when I think of this, and you see, I think of God a lot because God doesn't change. God is consistent. God is always the same. No matter what, he's going to treat us the same. No matter what happens in our life, he's going to still love us. He's still going to draw us. He's still going to ask us to confess our sins. He's not going to say one day that that sin is, the thing you just did is a sin, and the next day he's going to say, oh, it's okay for you to do it. He's not going to change his mind. He's always consistent, and I want you guys to see that. One of my favorite writers in the New Testament is John. And one of my favorite books that he writes is 1 John. 39 times in that book, in 1 John, the word know, K-N-O-W, not know, but know, I know this to be true, comes up 39 times. And to me, it's marvelous when you consider how small of a book that really is. That God wants us to know him. God wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know what he's done. He wants us to know what his plans are. He wants us to know with certainty. He doesn't want us to doubt. He doesn't want us to go through life uncertain of what he's going to do. He doesn't want us to go through life doubting what might be. He wants us to know beyond the shadow of a doubt. He wants us to know. I'm thinking about what Mr. Strike had said earlier when he introduced me, and it's going through my mind right now, so sometimes I'm going to pause, if you don't mind. Mr. Strike mentioned that I had gone through some stuff, and I wasn't going to mention it, but I think it fits in with what we're talking about today. It was a couple of years ago. It was when I was, it was in 2006. I'm not sure, some of you may have heard the story, but it was 2006. I was working in my backyard and I got a cut on my finger, just a small cut. And I was working and dirt got in there. And the dirt had some bacteria in it. The bacteria was a streptococcal virus. They call it a flesh-eating disease. And it started in my finger, and it got into my bloodstream. And it lodged right here in my back. I didn't know it. It was there for a couple of days, and I had no idea. I was a little bit painful in my back, and I didn't realize what it was. I figured I would stretch. And so I stretched out a little bit, and figured I'd take some hot baths to make sure that it was getting better, and it just never got better. What ended up happening was I went to the emergency room, and they said, you're going to be fine. Just go home, take some pain pills. It's a muscle pull. So I went home. It got worse, even with the pain pills they gave. Then after the, I went back the next day and said, it's increasing in pain. They said, nothing's wrong. Go home. We'll give you a muscle relaxant. So I got a muscle relaxant, and I stayed at home. Fortunately, it was during the summer, so I wasn't at work. And then Monday morning, my whole family was gone. I was home alone. And I was in a lot of pain still. So I decided that I'm going to try to heat my back to get to loosen up. The pain became so overwhelming, I couldn't move. But the thing is, it's now not just my back, it's in my knee. And my knee is getting bigger and bigger, to where it's the size of just a little bit bigger than a softball. And I can't move. I can't get to a phone. I can't call anybody for help. I can't physically move. And then my wife gets home about 6 hours later. I'm in excruciating pain. She calls the ambulance. They come and get me, take me to the emergency room. And the doctor says, there's nothing wrong with him. He's just got a little bit of pain. We're going to try to alleviate it by giving him painkillers. And so they put me in pain while my knee started getting bigger. Now it's the size of a volleyball. And if you've seen the size of a volleyball, put it next to your knee, and that's how big it was. And then my wife said, you need to look at the knee. So he looked at the knee, and he goes, there might be something wrong with him. Come on. So for the 4 hours, they were putting a needle into my knee, taking pus out. And they would take out 4 or 5 big vials, and then they would come back, and it's back up to the same size. The flesh-eating disease was slowly going through the knee, destroying the knee. It already took out the back. And so now it's still the same size. It's not getting any less. And I want to let you know that's the last thing I remember. After that, my wife tells me the stories. I have no clue really what happened. All I know is I was in the hospital for a month. And while I was in the hospital, every day, they'd be sucking out pus from there, trying to get the disease out. They would be filling me with antibodies, trying to get it away. And after 3 weeks, they figured it's gone. I'm in a world of pain, still unconscious, going in and out of consciousness. Had multiple surgeries where they went in and they scraped out the knee. And so today I don't have anything in my knee. Same thing with my lower back here. And the pain was so great. My wife was at the hospital every single night with me, praying with me. That's what she tells me. You know, maybe she wasn't, I'll never know. But you guys see there's a lot of pain going on there, right? And you look at this and you sit there and say, wow, that's hard. But you know, it's good news. Do you know why? Does anybody know why that could be good news? My wife didn't either. My wife prayed and goes, God, heal him, heal him. After the hospital, I went out and I was in my bed, in a hospital bed with IVs and painkillers that were going on for a month and a half. And we were praying, God, we need to get this out of my house before my son's first birthday. I had a little baby. Couldn't hold him. I had a little baby. And we prayed the day before his birthday. They took out the bed and the IV. Still couldn't walk. So couldn't do anything. Doctor said I probably wouldn't walk. So my wife is praying and praying and praying. And do you know what happened? She grew closer to God. She had a deeper relationship with God. She understood that He is sovereign and He's in control. And she began to realize some of the things that I knew. How did I get through all that? I don't really know. I just know my God is sovereign. And He's not going to allow anything in my life that His loving hands didn't allow to get there. He's not going to allow anything in my life to happen that He's not going to use for His glory, but also for my growth in the image of His Son. Now, you think that would be a good story right there and it'd be over with, right? However, I think it was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. And here's why. My wife started to notice something about me. My wife looked at me and said, honey, your tongue looks swollen. Weird tongue, huh? She says, it looks swollen. And I go, really? So I looked in the mirror, and indeed, this side was big and this side was small. We said, we better go to the doctor. And the doctor said, Your tongue's not swollen. Your tongue's dead. I go, what? They go, the side that you think is normal is actually shriveling. It's dead. I go, what's going on? And he said, well, we'll take some x-rays, but I'll tell you right now what it is. You probably have a 12th cranial nerve schwannoma. Huh? Right here, there's a little hole in the back of your head that your nerve goes through. And that's a nerve that controls your speech, your tongue, and some other things. And I had a tumor crushing it. And the tumor was severing that nerve. And the reason, only reason why we found out was because my knee surgery made me so weak that I couldn't compensate for the growth of the tumor anymore. And the tumor started growing rapidly. It broke through the skull and was heading toward the brain. It was about this big. There's not that much room back there, is there? And so what they had to do, we went in, had surgery where they opened me up here. They took this and pulled it forward and pinned it down. They cut the nerves and they cut the muscles in this area, and they went in and they took out the tumor, and they removed it. And the thing is, if I didn't have this flesh-eating disease in my knee, the doctor said I would have died, because we would never have known that there's a tumor going to my brain. God works things mysteriously, doesn't he? I think that's great that he showed me that I have a tumor by getting me sick and slowing me down. But in the meantime, he brings my wife closer to him. I think that's a great thing that he did. Now, I want you to pray for me. They got all the tumor out, but then we went back a couple of months ago and they said they may have found some more. So just pray that it would just go away. Your prayers can be very effective, all right? The reason why I want you to hear this story, I basically wanted to talk with you about trusting who God is. I want to talk with you about understanding what he wants for you, but knowing what he's all about, how you could have confidence in him just as much as you have confidence when you write 2 + 2 = 4. You can't be wrong. When you do your math, if you follow the pattern of what it says, if you go and do the basics that you know, you're always going to get the answers right. And that's what I want you to see with this. Well, the reason why I was able to get through all this, the reason why my wife was able to get through all this, is because we came to a realization and a knowledge that God is good. God is sovereign. God is loving. That God is all these things that we read about in the Bible. And because he's all these things, there's a purpose in everything he does. And I want you guys to see that. One of the things that just to give you an example of, I'm going to step back from that little graphic detail of this, and I want to bring up something about math again. Strangely, I was watching a kid do math the other day, and for those of you who don't know that you struggle with math, he was struggling with math. I was watching him. I was watching him work out the problem. And I was watching him do it wrong. I told him I'm there to help if he wants me to help him. And he never asked me once. He just kept on going, getting the answers wrong. He would look in the back of the book. Don't tell your teachers the answers are back there. And he would find out he got them wrong. And he would go back frustrated and angry and erase everything, even the parts he got right. He'd erase everything and repeat the same mistake over again. I'm standing right there saying, I could help you if you want me to. And he didn't ask me anything. Eventually, what ended up happening was I had to go over there and say, let me help you. I looked at what he was doing. I asked him what he knew about math, what he knew about these problems. And he told me everything he needed to know to solve that problem. He knew it all. When it came to working the problem out, though, he forgot to apply it. So he multiplied a negative and a positive, and he came up with a positive, which is wrong. And I would point out, you made a mistake. He goes, no, I didn't. It's right there. Change it. And we'll see. We'll help you work this out. Eventually, what ended up happening was he started to realize that he was messing up a lot. So he just kept raising his hand all the time. Can you come and help me? Can you come and help me? By the end of that morning that I was with him, he ended up doing all his homework assignment all by himself, and he got them all right. Every single one. The reason? When he started to struggle, when he forgot the basics of what math's about, he asked for help. And then I went over and helped, and we worked out the problem together. And then he saw where his mistake was, and he worked the things out, the next problems. Until the end of the day, he was saying, this is easy. I go, you bet it is. Do you know why? Because you went back to the basics of what you know, and you asked someone for help. That's what I want to encourage you with. How did my family and I get through that situation that I described to you? We went back to the basics. And we started asking God for help. When we were struggling, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know which direction to go. We didn't know where to point at. We may have been struggling with doubt, with uncertainty. And we just had to go, but we know God is good. I will never doubt that. We know God is loving. I'm never uncertain about that. I know for a fact. And what we'd always do is go back to the basics and say, God, what are you doing in this? How is it that you're working through this? Show me. And he would. And he would give us peace. He would guide us because we went back to what we knew and we began to ask him for help. And we also had people surrounding us, helping us out with the problems that we had. That's what I'd like to encourage you guys to do as well. You guys may be going through some struggles, through a lot of difficulties in your life, and I'm not too sure where you are. You may have things worse than what I described to you. I don't know what's going on, but I do know something. God is good. God loves you. God never changes. He's sovereign. And if we go back to some of these basics in our life, and we begin to trust him in the knowledge of that, and we begin to talk with him and ask him to show us what he's doing in these difficult times, and we ask him to guide us, he will. And then we surround ourselves with people who will be praying for us. We surround ourselves with people who also want to know and explain how good God is, and they'll encourage us along. My family was able to get to that very difficult situation because of those very basics. We went back to knowing who God was, and we counted on that. We prayed, and we had people surrounding us, explaining to us their knowledge of who God was, and they increased our understanding. So I want to encourage you guys with that, and I guess my time's up. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. All right. Father, I thank you that you indeed are sovereign and that you indeed are good beyond all understanding we could ever have. I pray, Lord, that your work in each one of these students' lives, that you would just be able to shine through them, that they would be able to trust in the knowledge of who you are, and that they would be able to understand more and more and more of the greatness of who you are. And that they'd be able to trust you, Father, whatever circumstances they may find themselves in. So, Lord, we just pray your blessings upon them and help them encourage somebody else today so that they could also trust you in a deeper way. In the name of Christ, we pray this. Amen. Have a good day, y'all.
You mean Mr. Parkson? That was me.
That was you? Okay. Yeah. All right. I didn't remember who it was. Thank you for letting me know, though. Hi. You changed my whole message.
You did?
You did.
Oh, good. What'd I do?
Well, I wasn't going to mention the story whatsoever. So.
What's that?
I wasn't going to mention the story whatsoever, but I felt I had to, so I did.
Thank you so much from us.
Thank you.
I had to run, I had to touch base with the worship team, then I had to run in my class because what I do on chapel days oftentimes is during middle school, that's my prep time because I have six classes in there.
Right.
So okay. Because I mentioned adversity, so you share a little bit?
Yeah.
Is that what you're referring
to? So. It went from, but it was the same message. I just left out a bunch of stuff.
I'll do it again if you want. That was just part of how I wanted to introduce you.
Yeah.
Something I admire about you.
No, I appreciate that. It's a different sermon, so different direction with it.
Okay.
I think your songs fit in well with this message rather than the first one, so we'll see how it goes.
Awesome.
All right?
Can you pray with me?
Okay, appreciate that.
Lord, thank you for David.
Okay.
Thank you for his life. And Lord, I just feel really grateful right now. Just the fact that you've revealed yourself to both of us and we love you. So many people in this world, they don't know you and they don't love you, Lord, and so I'm just deeply grateful. And I'm standing by a brother in Christ. And I pray you bless him and anoint him as he speaks to these students in the second chapel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Interesting. She's a funny lady.